Hi, beautiful people. How are you? I hope you're well. I'm doing pretty good myself. Thank you for asking. And welcome to another installment of Thoughtful Threads, where we have fashion talk for thinkers. That's what we do over here, in case you didn't know. Here to remind you. Oh, and a couple of church announcements. I have created an Instagram page that is currently in the works of getting up and running and having all the content that I want to put on there and all that jazz. But there is an Instagram page officially because, as much fun as we have over on TikTok, I do think that we are missing out on a crucial community of people who are still hanging out over on Instagram. And even though Instagram is not really my jam anymore, per se, I think Mark Zuckerberg has done a lot to tank everything that I loved about that platform. But still, there's still a ton of people over there who I would love to engage in discourse and conversation with and open up this community to tons more people. And I feel like, especially for what it is that we talk about over here, like the type of content that we focus on, I feel like the kind of person who cares about that stuff is still very heavily on Instagram. I'm sure they're on TikTok too, but I definitely for sure think that they are also on Instagram. So there's an Instagram now. Everything has the same handle now. It's at Thoughtful Threads Pod. That is the current handle for everything. And yeah, if you're on Instagram, I'd love a follow over there. And if you are enjoying this audio series, I would love a review and a rating, preferably 5 stars, if you would be so kind. And thank you very, very much in advance. So, those are my church announcements. And without further ado, let's get into the meat and potatoes for this evening. And let's talk about what I would like to focus on this particular installment of Thoughtful Threads, which is all about the influencer. We know them, we love them, and I think a lot of us also hate them sometimes. But nonetheless, they are a big fixture on the internet and they are too big to ignore. And I want to talk in particular about one influencer who crossed my path because she is a great example of what I have been saying is going to be the future of the influencer. Which, to make a long story short, is that overall, the concept of influencer, I believe, is going to be looked at with more disdain and contempt than it has been in prior years. Like, I know we think about the glory days of the influencer as being like the 20 teens, especially on Insta, where it seems like folks were just blowing up overnight and pages were just blowing up overnight and people were getting brand deals and people were getting flown out to Cabo and Florence, Italy to try on lipstick and clothes and they were invited to Fashion Week and stayed in all these extravagant hotels and people were getting free cars and like it was just a free for all in the 20 teens, if you can remember, in fashion and definitely beauty too. So I think that we are definitely seeing the pendulum swing in the other direction now compared to the 20 teens. And I think that the 2020s is not going to find as much favor in the influencer culture as it once did. That is going to be my prediction that I've put out there already, but I'm also going to say it once again because I feel strongly that that's where we're headed. I think, economy aside, the economy is definitely fast tracking everyone's sentiments about how they are falling out of love with influencers. But even if the economy here in the US, where I'm based, wasn't what it is right now, I still think that overall we would see a decline in the perception of influencers just because, in the wake of the pandemic, Lovato. And seeing all of the carnage and all of the misery and woe that folks were in, and realizing just how fragile our lives are, quite frankly, I just think as a collective, there are many of us who have just chosen not to care about these things as much as we once did because we realized the hard way that the best things in life are free. comparison is the thief of joy, life is short, all of those kind of cliche mantras that for sure are true, and they're cliche for a reason because they are never not true. And really internalizing those ideas after experiencing these last couple of years, and then now leading into an economic recession, I think everyone is just kind of like, there are so many better ways to spend this little bit of free energy and free time that I have than just watching someone through my screen perform IRL activities that I don't have the privilege to be able to do. And I think people are realizing that in droves, and influencers are not in a good place right now in terms of the public perception of it all. And as it pertains to clothing lines and just selling clothing and things of that nature, I think that everyone is just kind of sick of it because it's been a free-for-all. Everyone and they mama who's even remotely popular has been trying to sell clothes or accessories or makeup or hair. Like, I think we're all just kind of sick of it as a collective. And what we're going to see, in my opinion, is if you are still an influencer and that is still how you make your bread and butter in the higher timelines, you're going to go about it differently than you have been in previous years. And this particular influencer that I want to talk about, I think, is a great example of how this will potentially look in real life. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the influencer Ami Song, but you might not know her name is pronounced Ami because it's spelled phonetically like Amy. That's how I'd pronounce it if I didn't know better. But Ami Song is an OG influencer. She was definitely hotter than fish grease in the 20 teens. And I think as of right now, she has over 7 million Instagram followers. So, very well known girl. I remember her from way back, like 8 or 9 years ago on the gram, doing what all the big influencers were doing at that time. I just remember her being plastered all over social media, basically. So, she's something of an OG in the influencer space at this point, for sure. And she is embarking on a new clothing line that is an entirely different business model than what she's done previously. And I find that super interesting. Oh, and I forgot to mention that Ami Song used to go by the moniker Song of Style. I believe that's what her original handle used to be on social media. So if you don't know her by her government name, then you might know her by Song of Style. So yeah, that might help. So back in 2019, Ami Song released a 50-piece collection with Revolve, the very Insta-ready luxury, I guess you could say, question mark, e-commerce retailer that we might all have been familiar with. If you're not familiar with Revolve, Revolve to me is, if I had to think of their target demographic customer, and I'm making this girl up, she is either in her 20s or her 30s, has a killer body, works out a lot probably, or is just genetically blessed because everything on Revolve that I've ever seen is maybe covering 20% of your body on any given day. Like, everything's tight, everything's short, everything is very unforgiving. Like, if you have a little pouch, kangaroo pouch, it will show in Revolve clothes that they select for the website. So it's giving like Miami 20 something girl who's really into physical fitness and who has a lot of spare money to go around. So Ami Song did a capsule collection with Revolve back in 2019, 50-piece collection branded as Song of Style, which is her OG name, and it marked the retailer's first collaboration with any influencer, and it's still for sale today, actually, if you are curious and you want to check it out. But what's interesting about that Revolve collection is that when she was asked about it, in her interview for this new line that she's about to come out with, which we'll talk about in a little bit, she actually didn't have the most amazing things to say about that whole experience. Selling with Revolve definitely required her to be the front-facing person for that collection, definitely required her to be more promotional and things of that nature. And she has said that she feels like the line didn't really represent who she was. And she also cited that at Revolve, their business model caters to this idea of newness and that they have to have new designs on a rolling basis. And she felt like while that made sense for their business model, it wasn't a reflection of how she wants to produce things. It wasn't a timeline that she would have created if it was up to her. And she just feels like it wasn't as intentional of a process as she would have it be if it was up to her. And I can respect that sentiment. And when I saw the excerpt of her talking about that experience with Revolve on Instagram, and I went through the comments, there were a lot of negative comments saying, oh, you know, basically it was a cash grab for you. You just signed up, wanted the money, the accolades, and whatever else. And now you've abandoned ship and you're crapping all over this collection that you were telling us was the best thing since sliced bread when it benefited you. And you know what? That is a valid critique. And I see where people are coming from with that. But at the same time, I do believe, influencer or not, we are allowed to evolve and grow, and we are allowed to look back on things we did even just a few short years ago and say, that's not a reflection of who I am anymore. And if I had the chance to do it all over, I wouldn't do it that way. I think that you have the right to express that as well. And I don't think that that inherently makes you a fake person or just a money-hungry person. It could genuinely be that it made sense at the time and it doesn't make sense for where you are and what you believe in today. And it's still a valid criticism because there are countless examples of folks who are in her industry who will just cash the check, say whatever you want them to say about a product, even if they're lying through their teeth. And then as soon as it no longer benefits them, they say the complete opposite thing, or they take another check from someone else, and then they tell you that that thing is the next best thing since sliced bread. And I can understand how that feels disingenuous, but me personally, I just kind of accepted the fact a long time ago that a lot of influencers are just sentient ads. Like, they're walking billboards, literally, and knowing that and understanding that, I can just take everything they say with a grain of salt. So I don't personally feel slighted or bamboozled when someone is promoting a new clothing line after working with their competitor 6 months ago. It makes no difference to me. I clocked that you were a walking billboard years ago, so it is what it is. But that's my personal opinion on the whole thing. But for what Ami Song says about this new clothing line, I mean, it makes sense and it sounds like it's in alignment with who she is today. When she first came on the scene in the 2010s, or who knows, maybe she was around before then, but that's when I first got wind of her. She was much younger. She didn't have the same priorities in her life that she has now. When I first discovered her, she wasn't married, she wasn't a mother, and now she's both of those things. Now she runs her own businesses. Like, a lot of things have changed in her life, and I can understand wanting to pivot and wanting to create a line that is a reflection of this new version of yourself, which she has done with her new luxury knitwear brand called, I want to say it's called Amia, maybe Amaya, I don't know. I've only seen the name of the brand in print. I haven't seen anyone actually verbally say it out loud. So it's spelled Amiya. And for the sake of this particular episode, let's just call it Amia because I have no proof of how you're actually supposed to say it. So Amia is Ami Song's new luxury clothing line, and she's been developing it for the past 2 years. And her first initial drops will be focused on luxury knitwear. So these are truly luxury prices. The article I read states that the drop includes a crew neck sweater that's over $900, an almost $800 cardigan, two pairs of pants, one of which is almost $900 and one of which is just over $1,000. So by no means are these entry-level price points. So she's tackling a very different customer. And Revolve is not the cheapest stuff on the planet either. Don't get me wrong. Like, Revolve is not Shein prices, Forever 21 prices, but I don't think that they're quite clocking in at these price points either. So this is definitely top-tier pricing as far as anything I've ever seen her get behind at this point. And all of the products for her knitwear line are made in Italy, and her husband, who is also her business partner, went to Italy themselves and sourced factories to work with. So really, really taking a hands-on approach, which I can say for sure, even though I've never met Ami Song a day in my life, I can say for sure that's the complete opposite approach of whatever happened at Revolve, because Revolve is a well-oiled machine. They already have all those things in place, and I'm sure she was more of just like a front-facing kind of spokesperson, I guess you could say. And I'm sure she probably had meetings with the team at Revolve, but by no means do I think that she is sourcing out a factory on her own, working with a company like that. So this, just knowing what I know about the industry, is for sure a complete 180 from whatever she was doing before. And she's doing all this for good reason, because as of right now, the brand will be sold exclusively on its own website. And apparently they have plans to expand into wholesale by 2025, but for the time being, they're doing it all in-house. So makes sense that her and her husband would have to be super hands-on with sourcing factories, materials, and so on and so forth. A very lofty endeavor, let me tell you. This is a very lofty endeavor. So she's definitely stepping out and trying a new thing, that's for sure. And like, also just going back to pivoting from what she did with Revolve, I'm not mad at someone learning the ropes from another company before embarking on doing something the way they actually want to do it for themselves. I'm not mad at learning on somebody else's dime and at someone else's expense if you have the opportunity to do so. I'm not mad at that, honestly. So my thing is, like, what, would you rather her put all her money behind this with zero experience and then fall on her face? And I mean, you can very well fall on your face even if you've had numerous successful clothing lines beforehand. Like, anyone can fall on their face with any new business venture at any time. But I think it's especially smart when you're putting up all your own capital and you're self-funded and you're doing this exclusively with you and your husband, and you're not working with an investment group at this time. I understand wanting to learn what not to do from someone else before you learn those lessons with your hard-earned money. I'm not mad at that. So Ami says that working with Revolve was a great experience, because of course that's what you should say. And I don't doubt that she's not telling the truth. She says that they taught her about the operational side of what goes into making a clothing brand, which I absolutely, absolutely believe that. And she's at a stage now where she would like more control over everything, including the production schedule, which she was probably never going to get if she were to partner with another brand. And she wants to sell to a consumer that's more closely aligned with her personal aesthetic, which kind of explains the price points as well. Because if she's after someone who is like herself, that person is affluent, that person has the means, and that person probably doesn't care about the things that the Revolve customer cares about at this stage of their lives. Just even looking at the promotional images that I've seen for Amiya, the knitwear label, it's a totally different vibe than Revolve. Again, the Revolve girl is sexy and she wears a lot of form-fitting pieces, and the e-commerce shoots, or e-commerce shots rather, have models who are super dolled up and are wearing really high heels, and their waists are totally cinched in and sucked in, and the images are starkly different from what I've seen for Amiya thus far. Even the lighting, like, Revolve lighting for their e-commerce shoots is
it's really harsh, not in like a bad way, but it gives like kind of like a Terry Richardson kind of vibe. If you guys remember him, that photographer that ended up being a predator, basically. But he was known for these super, super high flash bulbs in his photo shoots. And Revolve kind of gives me that vibe as well, just in terms of the lighting. And like the Amia promotional images that I saw, the lighting is completely outside and it looks natural, very soft, sun-kissed, very relaxed. The images that I've seen are just a relaxed woman who wants to wear something that feels luxurious to her. Pretty much what a lot of people are saying they're after right now, which is why we have brands like The Row and Kate that are doing so well, because there is this rise of, and maybe not rise, maybe resurgence, because that kind of existed with Celine as well. But there is this reprisal of the woman with tons of disposable income who just wants to be comfortable and effortlessly chic. And Revolve does not give effortless. Revolve is tons of effort to get in those shoes, to get zipped up into that dress, to get those fishnets on or whatever it is. So it's a totally different vibe. And I could understand many different reasons for why this line came to be. I understand wanting the creative control, wanting control over the production schedule, which again, you were never going to get if you partnered with one of these companies, and not wanting to have to be tied down to making things for a certain follower who doesn't even represent who you are anymore. Also, things like the rise of concern about sustainability and people are burnt out on things that are super trendy, and all these sentiments that you put them all in a blender. And I can totally see how an influencer in her 30s, who was now a businesswoman and a mom and a wife, doesn't want to do anything the way she used to do it in terms of her clothing and her business practices. Like, I totally get it. None of this feels out of the ordinary to me. But the most interesting thing of all here is that Ami has made the decision not to star in any of the campaigns for her label. And she will talk about and promote the brand on her own personal Instagram, which, if I had several million followers and I was starting a business, I'd promote it on my Instagram as well. So that comes as no surprise. But she has no interest in being the face of this brand and being affiliated with it on the brand page, which I think is super interesting. Again, going from the 20 teens and seeing the influencer boom and how people's names were plastered all over everything and their likeness and their spokesmanship was plastered all over everything, we are doing an about face, a complete 180 from those old days of promotion and sales. In a lot of cases, you're actually better off if you are an influencer, not putting your name behind the brand that you own or that you're working for. And we've seen time and time again that just because you have a following online, that does not translate into sales. And those people are not guaranteed to open their wallets just because they're very gratuitous with their following of you or liking a picture or whatever the case might be. Like, do you guys remember Something Navy? The influencer's real name was Ariel, but her handle, as far as I remember, was Something Navy. And she had a clothing line launch in 2020, and it was a complete flop, and it ended up closing its doors, closing down the website. And then they were in the press for a while because there was a deal to sell the brand for $1. And that deal fell through. And this is someone who had millions of followers. And I'm sure it was probably high key embarrassing to go through that in the public eye. But it just goes to show that being an influencer does not guarantee that you will have fiscal success when you actually do the work of trying to sell tangible goods to your following, especially clothing. And on top of the fact that you just can't predict how much of your following is actually willing to open up their purse and buy into you in a real way, it's also something to be said for the fact that running a business is really, really hard. And I think the fashion business in particular, everyone in that business makes it seem like it's so easy. And I understand that it's part of the illusion, it's part of the allure that gets people engaged, but it's such a false depiction of what actually goes on. It's a lot of work to run and establish a fashion brand. It's a lot of unsexy moments. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of failures. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. And I think because the end result is pretty things, that there are so many people out in the world, including influencers, who think that it's just a matter of liking pretty things or being able to put on a cute outfit. And if it was that easy, we would all do it. Many have tried and many have failed because it's not that simple. So, Ami is really putting her neck out there on a business perspective because she could just continue to do the influencer thing and just earn money per post and just sign her likeness away to an established brand that does seem to know what they're doing, like a Revolve or, like one of these fast fashion brands that people put their names on every day and so on and so forth. She could just continue to do that. So for her to actually want to be part of the business side of things is a very lofty ambition. And, shout out to her. And choosing not to be the face of the brand is very deliberate. And I think it shows that she is someone who is paying attention to the cultural zeitgeist and what's going on in these internet streets. Because if you are paying attention, you will see that so many people online have influencer fatigue, celebrity fatigue, brand fatigue. Everyone is tired of being explicitly sold to. Every time you open your phone and scroll, maybe every three scrolls, there's an ad, a hard sell for you to buy something. And a lot of times it's coming from celebrities. And it's exhausting. It's oversaturated. Everybody's flooding the market. And for a lot of these people, because of the nature of what they've done, which is be walking billboards, when they do launch a business of their own, it just feels like another cash grab and it feels disingenuous and it doesn't feel like you're going to get your money's worth a lot of the time, no matter what it is, because you can't be sure of how genuine this sales pitch is or if it's just yet another thing for you to make money from, close the doors in a few years, and then come around 2 years from now when crock pots are the cool new thing and try to sell me a branded crock pot. So why do I believe in anything you're saying right now? Why would I put my money towards this brand when you don't really stand for anything in terms of like a definitive aesthetic, personality, etc.? Like, a lot of these influencers don't stand for anything. So I think by not putting her face all over the branding for this new line, by self-funding, creating small batches of product, not being interested in doing a ton of drops, not trying to be on everyone's radar, I think that she's very smart and that she realizes essentially it comes down to like, what is the phrase? Two birds in the hand is worth more than one in the bush. Or you guys know what I'm talking about. I butchered that, but it's a phrase that effectively means, oh no, excuse me. Excuse me. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That is the phrase, which effectively means, in this instance, a consumer that I've really connected with means more to me than 20 people who sort of kind of like me. So, locking in with one consumer who's willing to drop $1,000 on a cardigan is more meaningful than having 20 consumers who maybe, maybe would buy like a $20 baseball cap from me if they were having a good day. On paper, saying you have 20 potential customers looks great, right? Like, oh wow, there's 20 potential customers. But then when you really peel back the layers and you realize only one of those people is actually willing to spend money with you, then guess what? You really only have one customer. You have 20 followers, but you have one customer. And I think she, in her own way, recognizes that. And so the deliberate decision not to mass produce, which I don't think that she has the capital to mass produce, even if she wanted to. And that's not in a shady way. It's just incredibly, incredibly expensive. Even if you have a couple million dollars, like it's really, really expensive. But making the choice to signal to that true follower who really wants to buy into you in a major way, I think that's really smart. I think that the influencers who do continue to thrive in the higher timelines, they will be adopting that business practice and not trying to be everything to everyone and only focusing on that sliver of followers who they can count on financially to invest in them and buy into them. And I know there's a lot of talk, I'm sure, that will come about that'll be like, oh, this isn't affordable, this isn't relatable. But it's been shown in terms of the data that, for example, with Chanel, I believe it was, came out with some data recently that it was something, I think it was something along the lines of their top wealthiest clients are responsible for, I think, 40% of total revenue, something crazy like that. So, just in terms of the data, assuming that that's similar data to what Ami may have found with her millions of followers, it only makes sense at this stage to just focus on that top, making it up, top 3% of people who follow you who have $1,000 that they would love to spend on your cardigan. But at the same time, that customer may not necessarily want it to be plastered with your likeness. They may just like the sweater on its own. They like you, they like the sweater, but they don't necessarily need to see you in the sweater to transact on it. And on the off chance that somebody does come across your brand who's not familiar with you as an influencer, who also has $1,000 to spend on a cardigan, those people tend not to want to look like an influencer. That's why a brand like The Row has done so well in comparison to Victoria Beckham. I love to make this comparison between those two brands because they are so similar. But the only reason why Victoria Beckham has only just started to become profitable after 10 years, in my humble opinion, even though I think this is more like a fact to me, but of course I'm just going to say opinion because I can't prove it, but I feel very strongly that the only reason why Victoria Beckham has not taken off like The Row is because she plastered her likeness all over her clothing line. If she had called it something else, or at the very least, if she did not prance around in her garments and tag the brand all day long and have herself on their branded social media pages, I don't know about now, but a few years ago, she definitely did. If she didn't do that, I think that that Victoria Beckham would be on the level of The Row. I really, really, really do. But that customer, that affluent customer who has the ability to spend is not crazy about wearing a celebrity clothing line. And I think a lot of influencers are going to look at what The Row has been able to do, considering that the founders have all but completely removed themselves from their beginnings as entertainers. And they're going to see how successful that has been without signaling to as many people as possible. And they're going to try to replicate that because now they're seeing, hey, there's these girls who were basically the influencers of their day who made, straight to DVD movies, which, no shade. Listen, I'll sit here and watch Passport to Paris right now and be enthralled like I've just seen it for the first time. And Billboard Dad. So listen, I'm not hating on straight to DVD. But I'm saying they didn't come from the most highbrow part of pop culture. And they were able to infiltrate this industry that is notoriously gatekeepy, notoriously snobby and insular. And I think we're going to see a wave of influencers, not just Ami Song, but we're going to use her as the case study here. But we're going to see a wave of influencers who are doing exactly what Ami is doing, who are saying, hey, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm not interested in growth for the sake of growth because having an abundance of followers doesn't mean anything if 10% of them are the only ones who transact at the level that I want them to transact. So let me speak to that discerning customer. Let me do more with less. Let me produce less products, but produce them at a higher quality so that I can charge a higher price point and do them at the rate and level that I feel comfortable with maintaining. Create something that lasts. Keep a small footprint. Don't feel this need to just aggressively scale for the sake of scaling. And just rock out. Because the reality is, your best client may be a client that has never heard of you before and who doesn't give a damn about anyone being insta-famous. And that might be the person who buys 10 of those $1,000 sweaters in one sitting because they want to give them to all their family members for the holidays. So if you're Ami Song, yeah, you shouldn't oversaturate your brand's Instagram page with you in the merchandise and tagging yourself and doing all of this hokey, overly promotional hard sell all over the internet. Like, maybe you shouldn't do that. And a lot of times, too, with an influencer, since people are basically choosing to rock with you or not rock with you because of your personality, it doesn't matter what quality you're putting out there. Like, even if you're doing things on a high level, there are so many people who can't divorce your personality from what you're doing, and they're just gonna hate it secretly or not so secretly because they don't like you. Which takes me back to Victoria Beckham because her clothing is made very well with amazing fabrics. Literally, a lot of it looks just like The Row or very, very reminiscent of The Row. But the difference is, there are people who wear The Row who don't even know that Mary-Kate and Ashley are responsible for it. But there's no one who wears Victoria Beckham who doesn't know that Victoria Beckham is David Beckham's wife and a former Spice Girl. And for someone out there, if they saw one of her bags or one of her dresses and her tag was ripped out of it, they'd probably love it. But because they look at that tag and see her name, they associate it with whatever they do or don't like about Victoria. And then that person who might have transacted, you lose that sale because they associate the product with the person, which you don't always want. And I think a lot of influencers are realizing that now. That, yeah, there's a lot of people out here who like me, but there's a lot of people out here who don't. And maybe the ones who don't are actually the ones who have the money to spend. And so I need to move out of the way so that we can get some coins. And in the higher timelines, it's all about diversifying that income. Nobody is exempt, child. Even Beyonce is out here doing Verizon commercials and selling us shampoo. So everyone is looking for other streams of revenue right now, okay? And these influencers are no different. And if not plastering my name and my face all over this sweater means that you're 10 times more likely to buy it at full price, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because their ultimate goal is to get out of the influencer business and to create something that is self-sustaining. Even Beyonce wants to get out of the Beyonce business and just wants to create something that she can just live off of without having to be out here showing her face. Like Rihanna with Fenty Beauty and Savage Fenty, which is why she hasn't stepped on a stage in 20,000 years. And Beyonce would like to get to that point too. So no one is exempt. Everyone's looking for their meal ticket, so to speak. And I'm not saying that just because you're looking for your meal ticket, you're not Your heart's not in a good place. You don't have good intentions. Your product is crap. I'm not saying that, but two things can be true. You could be looking for your meal ticket, and also, you could have some hot stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, with that, I conclude my thoughts. And as always, I open up the floor to you, beautiful people, to tell me what do you think? Do you think that I'm on the money, or do you think that influencers will continue to be front-facing, that they want to continue to be the face of what they're doing? Especially when we get to these sort of OG influencers like a Ami Song, who've been doing this for a while and have grown up and maybe would like to pivot. I don't think that that's a far reach. I think that that will be very common with these OG influencers now. The young ones, they're still young, but the ones who've been doing this for like 10 plus years, I think they're ready to scale up and scale out of here. So let me know what you think, if you agree or if you disagree. And as usual, I love you lots. Thank you so much for continuing to come back to this community and helping it thrive and helping it grow. I can't tell you enough how appreciative I am of you. Make sure if you like this episode to leave a 5-star rating and review. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Share this episode with anyone you know who's interested in this sort of thing. And let's keep our community growing. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.